Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday evening at this time for Bible Crossfire. Of course, we emphasize that verse, John 8, verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So only the truth of God's Word will make us free from sin. False religious teaching won't do it. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we would talk about a phrase we find in 2 John verse 9. We'll talk about abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Most people who claim to be Christians think the details of what we believe don't matter, that all that matters is if you believe in Jesus. They reason that since preachers teach different things, different doctrines, it must not matter to God. But since when does 2 plus 2 equal 4 and 2 plus 2 equal 5 at the same time? They both can't be right. Likewise, 2 John verse 9 reads, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." So the doctrine we believe and teach must be super important because it determines whether or not we have God. We can't be saved if we don't have God, can we? Let's look at some religious practices or teachings that are not part of the doctrine of Christ. Number one, gay marriage. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 in the New King James Version states, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Churches that now allow gay marriage are not abiding in the teaching of Christ, are they? Number two, sprinkling for baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 reads, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." When someone dies and we take them out to the graveyard to bury them, do we just stand them up and sprinkle a little dirt on their head? Or do we put them all the way up under the ground? We know what buried means, don't we? Most believers know that baptism was an immersion in the Bible, but they don't think it really matters to God how we do it. But Matthew 15 verse 9 says, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Ask yourself this question. Is sprinkling for baptism a commandment of God or a commandment of men? Since it's not found in God's Word, it must be a commandment of men. And since sprinkling for baptism is a commandment of men, that means those who believe, teach, and practice sprinkling are worshiping God in vain, meaning useless or worthless. You can't go to heaven like that, can you? Number three, women preachers. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, there's nothing vague about that passage. It and other verses are crystal clear that women should not be doing the preaching in the church assembly. Yet, my guess is about 75% of Christian-type congregations allow women to speak from their pulpit. Haven't we lost sight of the fact that the Bible should be the guidebook for churches and Christians? Number four, divorce for causes other than fornication. Jesus declares in Matthew 19, verse 9, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." So if a couple gets a divorce for any reason other than fornication and either remarry, the second marriage is adulterous and needs to be terminated because of such. About the first century, the first ever New Testament congregation, Acts 2:42 says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." What about the church where you attend? Are they abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ? Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. The lines are open, 877-655-6755. If you want to talk about abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ or any other Bible topic, please give us a call. You know, evidently, Jesus thought doctrine was important. As he warned his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 12, "Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." Beware of their doctrine. Well, now, if doctrine doesn't matter, why did Jesus warn his disciples of such? Doctrine must matter. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So to be saved, we must continue in Christ's doctrine. People who claim to be believers but aren't continuing in Christ's doctrine won't be saved, according to 1 Timothy 4:16. You see how important it is that we abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." Doctrine surely is important. The number to call, 877-655-6755, if you have a Bible question or comment. Let's talk about some other things where people, religious people, or churches are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. What about baptism for salvation? Does a sinner have to be baptized to be saved? We agree a sinner has to believe to be saved. And most of us agree that a sinner has to repent in order to be saved. Acts 2:38. What about baptism? Well, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So according to Jesus, you not only have to believe, John 3:16, you have to be baptized, Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Many teach that you don't have to be baptized to be saved. But that, when they teach that, that's not abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. And if you don't abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ, if you teach that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, then you don't have God. You can't be saved. Gary from Colorado, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
What is your view on who goes to heaven as doctrine from the Bible?
Well, Gary, how about the first passage that came to my mind when you asked me that question was Revelation 22, verse 14. It says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city," which of course would be the gates of the city of heaven. So in order to have the right to the tree of life, that would be the thing that causes us to have everlasting life, to live forever, and to go into heaven, we have to do God's, Jesus' commandments, according to Revelation 22:14. Does that make sense, Gary?
No, because what about the 144,000? What about Psalms 37:9-10? Psalms 37:9-10 says the righteous will inherit the earth.
Okay. But Revelation 22:14 says those that keep his commandments will go to heaven.
Yeah, there's a select few that go to heaven.
Well,
the anointed go to heaven, don't they?
Doesn't John 3:16, a passage we looked at a while ago, teach that more than just a few are going to heaven? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Right, everlasting life, but not eternal life in heaven. There's a difference. And it talks about the little flock being the ones that go to heaven with Jesus and the Father, Jehovah, but the righteous will inherit the earth. I mean, it's just like, where are the wicked going to be resurrected to? Heaven or on earth?
Well, let's look at a couple of passages. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, how about Colossians chapter 1, verse 5, Gary? It says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? Now, this is talking about all Christians, not just a select few, and it says their hope was laid up for them in heaven. How about 1 Peter 1 verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's talking about all Christians.
That was talking to the apostles back then.
No, it didn't say it was talking to the apostles. It was talking to the people the apostles were writing to, the audience, not just the apostles.
Well, they had to believe, but they had to be anointed also. In the upper room, when the Spirit of God anointed them, and they remained faithful and died after Jesus died, then they would have a passage to heaven, but not everybody would have the right to heaven, because if they never got anointed, what about the ones that died before Jesus died that never heard that parable?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So that passage, along with the other two I quoted, prove that all Christians, all faithful Christians will go to heaven, not just a select few. These verses are proving that, Gary. Hebrews 10:34 says, for ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Now, this is not talking about just the apostles or a select few. He's writing to the Christians, and they had been persecuted. Their goods had been spoiled. And he says, well, you were able to take that joyfully because that you knew that you would have in heaven a better and enduring substance. That's talking about all Christians. Gary, you still in line? I guess he's gone. We appreciated that call. Appreciate Gary's call. If you have a Bible question or comment, please call us at 877-655-6755. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So who's going to heaven according to that passage? Everybody who does the will of the Father. Not just part of those, but everybody who does the will of the Father which is in heaven is going to go to heaven. Matthew 5 verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What is that? That means that those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake are going to go to heaven. That's not just the apostles, that's any faithful Christian. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All faithful Christians will go to heaven. Luke 6:23, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Our reward will be great in heaven if we remain faithful to the Lord. Matthew 5 verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This seems pretty clear that the Bible says that all Christians will go to heaven. All faithful Christians. Let me add that unfaithful Christians will end up in the same place as people who did not become Christians to begin with. And that gets us back to our topic of abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. Those who teach once saved always saved that you can't fall from, that a Christian can't fall from grace, that once you become a Christian it's impossible for you to lose your salvation. That's the Calvinistic theory. Most churches teach that. When they teach that, they're not abiding in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ. A passage like Galatians chapter 5 verse 4 makes this simple and plain. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, a lot of churches will say you can't fall from grace. This verse says these people had fallen from grace. I don't see why they can continue to believe such when this verse proves their doctrine wrong. And so, the caller we have, who a very nice man, he was wrong that only a select few will go to heaven. No, all faithful Christians will go to heaven. But notice I said all faithful Christians. Somebody who becomes a Christian but turns his back on the Lord, he will not go to heaven. And the people that teach that he will, even though he lives that way, they're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. Another passage, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Many say that a Christian can't depart from God, but this verse warns them not to depart. Why would he warn them of that if that weren't possible? It's possible for a Christian, one who's become a Christian, to depart from God and lose his salvation. I've known of a lot of Christians who've turned away from the Lord and lost their salvation. Those who teach once saved, always saved are not abiding in the teaching of Christ, and therefore, according to 2 John verse 9, since they're not abiding in the doctrine or teaching of Christ, they don't have God. They can't be saved. This is so important because not only is this a false doctrine, but it causes people to live an immoral lifestyle. After all, if a preacher keeps telling his audience, once you're saved, you can live any old way you want to and still be saved, a lot of those people eventually are going to start living any old way they want to. That's why this is such a dangerous doctrine. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You know, another thing that comes to my mind when we're talking about people not abiding in the teaching of Christ is infant baptism. A lot of churches practice infant baptism or some semblance of it. But you know, when Philip was preaching to the eunuch, that verse in Acts 8, verse 35, it says he preached unto the eunuch Jesus. When he was preaching unto him Jesus, he must have said something about baptism because the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" We would say in Alabama, "What's keeping me from being baptized?" And Philip said in verse 37, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so when somebody wanted to be baptized, he was told, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." Which implies that if you don't believe with all your heart in Jesus, you may not be baptized. An infant is innocent, has no sin, but he's not mature enough to believe in Jesus Christ. So an infant's not qualified to be baptized. He doesn't need to be baptized since he has no sin. He can't believe in Christ first, which is a requirement. Remember the verse we quoted before, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So he's got to believe first before he can be baptized. That an infant can't do that. And therefore, infant baptism is unscriptural. When we're looking at Mark 16:16, I should have read the verse right before it. Jesus has said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So before they can believe, they got to be preached to. Then when they believe that preaching, then they can be baptized. An infant can't do that. Infant baptism is unscriptural. You'll not find one example in the Bible of an infant being baptized. It's always people who are old enough, mature enough, to believe in Jesus and to repent of their sins. Acts 2:38 says to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So before you can be baptized for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of your sins, you got to repent. An infant can't do that. They don't even have any sins to repent of. Infant baptism, those who believe and teach and practice infant baptism, are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, the teaching of Christ. So, 2 John verse 9 would say then that they don't have God, because it says that folks who do not abide in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, don't have God. Infant baptism is not part of the teaching of Christ, not part of the doctrine of Christ. It's nowhere in there. People who believe and teach and practice infant baptism, therefore, don't have God and can't be saved. You see how important this is? We must abide in the doctrine, in the teaching of Christ, 2 John verse 9, to have God. And if we don't have God, we can't be saved. That's why we emphasize on this program so much that we must abide in the doctrine, in the truth. And if we believe and teach and practice something different than that, then we don't have God, we're not going to be saved. That's why we need to study the Bible and find out the truth. The truth will make us free from sin. Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. So we have that text in 2 John verse 9, which we're keying on tonight, that if we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, we don't have God, meaning we can't be saved. Verse 10 and 11 says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So verse 9 is saying that Patrick Donahue must abide in the teaching of Christ to be saved. Verses 10 and 11 is saying if somebody else is not abiding in the teaching of Christ, then I must not bid them Godspeed, because if I do, I become a partaker in their evil deeds. Meaning, if somebody else is in sin, not practicing the doctrine of Christ, teaching something different than the doctrine of Christ, I must not help them in their sin or encourage them in their sin, or I become a partaker in their evil deeds. That's why we've said a number of times on this program that it not only matters how I live, but it matters where I go to church. I need to live the Christian life and follow the doctrine, what Jesus taught in the New Testament. And I need to worship with a congregation that's faithfully following God's Word. Because this says, if I bid Godspeed to someone who's not abiding in the teaching of Christ, meaning if I help somebody sin, suppose I'm part of a congregation, for example, that allows women to preach from the pulpit. Well, as a man, it's impossible for me to commit the sin of being a woman preacher. But if I'm part of a congregation that allows it, and I go along with it, I don't oppose it, I don't teach against it, then I become a partaker in their evil deeds. So I will be lost because of somebody else's sin, because I went along with their sin. I didn't stand against their sin. I helped them sin, or I encouraged them in their sin. What if you're a member, you're straight, like I am, not even tempted by the sin of homosexuality, but you're part of a church that allows gay marriage. You go along with it. They're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. You're encouraging them in their sin by worshiping with a church like that. You're in effect telling them their lifestyle is okay. You become a partaker in their evil deeds. What about a church that practices sprinkling for baptism or baptizes infants? Maybe you've been immersed as an adult, as a believer, but you're part of a church that practices this. Then you are bidding them Godspeed in their sin, and you become a partaker in their evil deeds, according to 2 John verses 10 and 11. Maybe you're scripturally married, but you're part of a church, like many churches, that may have many divorced and remarried members. They're living in adultery. The church, most churches just go along with that. They don't oppose it anymore. If you're part of a church like that, that's just going along with allowing people in adulterous marriages to be considered faithful members, then even if you're in a good marriage, you are helping or encouraging others in their sin, and you become a partaker in their evil deeds. You see, we need to not only be a faithful Christian ourselves, we need to worship with a congregation that's faithfully following God's Word. We need to abide in the teaching of Christ, and so that we don't bid Godspeed to others, we need to worship with a church that's abiding in the doctrine of Christ. A church that teaches you don't have to be baptized to be saved. We don't need to be a part of a church like that, because that would be bidding Godspeed to that false doctrine. That goes against what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21. We need to find a church that's faithfully following God's Word. If you want to talk to me more about this, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Please listen next week.